Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Caldwell. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Folks, get ready for your mind to be blown. I'm not even kidding. This is Tony D'Angelo, and Tony is a guy that has been a champion for me, for Instant IP. It felt very lonely certain times along the way when you're trying to create something big. A lot of people don't get it. A lot of people misunderstand you. Tony got it. In fact, I would say he even propelled me to keep going. So Tony, it's a deep honor to have you here. And I told you before we started, I'm going to let you roll with like 99% because I feel like you have so much value. So tell us about yourself. Tell us about what you do and just let's get into this.
Yeah. Well, first, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it. You've been such a fantastic guest on the Intellectual Capitalist Show. So I'm grateful for that. You and Katie, getting rave reviews, of course, and the work that you're doing to really champion this category for entrepreneurs of intellectual property is profound. Arnold Toynbee once said, nothing is more powerful than an idea that has met its time. And so if you are alive in 2025, which we all are, if you're not pursuing intellectual property as number one, as part of an asset strategy, as a person and as a business, you're absolutely going to miss out in the next 75 years. So I just got to say thank you, Carrie, for being a champion of IP. Of course, the work you're doing, bringing people's IP to life in the form of the books, through Igniting Souls Press is just fantastic. So now you giving everybody a new way to get their feet into the IP pool. That is really what you and I are committed to. But let's face it. When you hear intellectual property, most people are like, they become paralyzed by that because they hear it, they see it. And I call it, they hear, they start to create a mountain called Mount IP. And for listeners out there, for viewers out there, I deem myself not only as an intellectual capitalist, but I also dare say I'm an IP Sherpa. Carrie, you too are an intellectual capitalist and an IP Sherpa, where our job right now, here we are in 2025, Carrie, is we really need to help the entrepreneurial class, the creative class, even the esquires, the experts, all the E's you can put out there, but it's really the entrepreneurs. To actually see that you have a God-given right that is codified in the Constitution to package, protect, promote, and profit from your divinely inspired intellectual property.
Wow.
So the lawyers like to put that word IP around it, but I want to put the other lens around it, and that's the IC. So you got to have property first. That's the IP. But how do we actually transform that property into a cash-flowing asset so that it's capital? And so everybody watching this episode is what I call an intellectual capitalist. And so what I mean by intellectual capitalist, intellectual doesn't mean IQ in this case. It means understanding. And capitalist doesn't necessarily refer to money. It actually refers to the concept of surplus. So an intellectual capitalist, like you are, Carrie, is someone who possesses a surplus understanding. Wow. And so you as an author went and did it. You know what it's like to be published by another a bureaucratic publisher who controls your title, who controls your cover, who takes 6 months to get that book, 6 years to get that book out that could get done in 6 months. You began as an entrepreneur to develop a surplus understanding. Both from your passion, but also from your pain. And so everybody watching this, listening to this, know at the core that all your ideas, they don't come from you. They come through you. To quote you, Carrie, you say it even better. You say your ideas don't come through you. They come to you. And they're divinely inspired. Now, you could think I'm being woo-woo in that, but listen, all the things we're going to talk about in today's episode, we're going to go in the Constitution. We're going to go into the book of Genesis. We're going to go biblical because this is divinely inspired content that we're talking about. So first, I'll just say to any listener, you're at the right place at the right time, listening to the right people if you want to move your life forward with this asset class called intellectual property.
I love it. And I'm just going to say, keep rolling because I already love that quote you opened up with and the Mount IP and IC. And so I'm learning a ton. Just keep rolling.
All right. Well, so let me tag on that, because Shannon Waller, strategic coach, said something really magical, and she said it on the latest 10X recap. So anybody coach clients, this is not mentioned in a workshop or seminar. It was actually mentioned, and I gave her a shout out. I emailed her right away. And I said, what you said about IP was so profound. It was kind of most off the cuff remark. She said, you know, when we keep our, you have two things. You have our intellectual property. That's your ideas and your own knowledge. And when you keep that within, it is property, right? You own it. And often it owns you. But when you begin to share, and I'll use a capitalist lens, when you begin to license your ideas, you print them in a book, you give, license is merely a permission for other people to use.
Yep.
You're giving your divinely inspired property access to somebody else. Like, you have a beautiful oceanfront mansion. You want to rent that out to other people. You got brilliant ideas. You have surplus understanding. So through intellectual property, you can license it. And when you license it, you take the property and you actually make it capital, because you're capitalizing on that. You're sharing that with humanity. And if you look at IP law, IP practice, you can look at it one of two ways. And this is why I was first, I got to say this out of the gate. Carrie, I'm certainly not an IP attorney. I don't play one on the internet. Even though Kim Kardashian passed the bar, I sure as hell didn't and will never take the bar. I'm also not an accountant. Okay. But what I am, who I am exactly who I say I'm at. I'm an intellectual capitalist. What does that mean? I have surplus understanding from 30 years of work in the educational space. I've learned how to utilize intellectual property law to package, protect, and promote and profit from my ideas. So I have a portfolio of cash flowing intellectual property that is reflected on my financial statement of my holding company, which then my holding company is my own. That intellectual property produces a royalty every single month or quarter, independent of my direct effort. So not only by design, but by law, because you have to, if you're going to have it as passive income, you cannot be actively engaged in it. So when you begin to bring in like a mindset of what you bring, Carrie, what Tom Wheelwright of Wealthability, the Wealthability show, the advisor to Robert Kiyosaki, and Tom is brilliant at creating pigs and not the animal pigs, but pigs in the term of passive income generators. So we look at IP from both a legal context, but also a tax context and as a financial resource. So as you look at IP, know that most people are introduced to IP from a defensive strategy.
Yeah.
But all great games are not just defensive. They're also offensively. So as we dig into history here a little bit, I want listeners to know that your ultimate goal with your divine inspired surplus understanding is to actually share that and actually profit from that. When I say share it, I don't mean give it away for free. No. There's no value there. There's got to be a price. That's why you're a capitalist. But you can license that. And when you license it, you actually transform humanity, because you're taking your pain, as Dan Sullivan would say, all of your IP is found in the DOS, the dangers of your hero target.
Okay? Wow.
And it is through that, when you mine that as an intellectual capitalist, you can find how you can really help humanity.
It's fantastic. I want to show people one quick image. If anyone's ever bought a Kindle book, I'm sure a lot of people have. I just saw this today. So this is a Peter Diamandis. It's a number one bestseller. We just published him. But I was looking over here and I said, oh my gosh, look at this. Look at the Kindle. Even on Amazon. By placing your order, you're purchasing a license to the content. And that's they put those words on purpose, because you don't own the ebook. And I want people to realize, like, what? Yeah, you don't own the ebook. You own a license of the ebook. And we won't get into all the details of why Amazon put the fine print like that, but it goes into all kinds of strategies and economics.
Well, let's go there, Carrie, because I think it's brilliant. Let's bring it to brass tacks in real life. So the reason why they put license is permission. So let's get out of the asset class that gets people overwhelmed, and that's IP, and let's move it to a simpler asset class, which is real estate.
Okay.
If you own a home, if you own a property, right? Mm-hmm. So I own this building here. And my goal as a real estate investor is I want to optimize the ROI of this asset. So I don't want to use it all by myself. That's being very greedy. I want to be generous, and I want to lease and license space out of this building. And the same is true with your intellectual property. Now, when it comes to real estate, we call that license rental. We call it a rental agreement. Change the word rental agreement to license agreement. That's what Amazon's doing. Because it's intangible property, not tangible property, you can't lease it, but you can license it. Okay. So lease and license. If you're a real estate investor, you've already done this. This is just a new asset class. There's five asset classes. IP is the fifth asset class. I won't go into those exactly what they are right now. But so when you license the IP, it's the same thing as getting a rental income. Now, don't take my word for it. Look at what the IRS deems. There are three types of income. There's active income, portfolio income, and passive income. Passive income is in the format of rental income and or royalty income. You can look at a 1099 miscellaneous, and there's a box. Box one is for rental income. Box two is for royalty income. So where did the royalty come from? It came from the person who gave you the license. So the reason why Amazon licenses you the buyer's book, they're just a broker in between. They're the landlord. They're the property manager. They're managing the IP. You, Kerry, or you, the author, Peter Diamandis, he licenses the right to Amazon. Then when Amazon gets the money, then what do? They pay Peter or the account. And you can even see it. Amazon changed the rules on the other side of that coin. They said it's not, it's they will send you a royalty payment is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the power of this asset class. Now, let's back up. Let's go back. You and I take everybody back to the mountain. Everybody's staring up at the mountain. So here's the three big dangers. If I could use what Dan has taught us within the DOS conversation, there are three dangers of IP, particularly that entrepreneurs face when they go to scale mount IP. Now, before I go into IP, we just have to acknowledge most people don't realize that when you're climbing a mountain, the ascent is not when you die. Most people, when they climb Mount Everest, they don't die. Well, now they are because the lines are so big and they're backed up. But most people don't die when they're climbing up a mountain. They die on the way back down.
I've heard that.
So when it comes to intellectual property, I want you thinking going up the mountain is defensively. You're acquiring the assets. You're getting the property. But coming down the mountain is when you cash flow it. And if you go into the game only trying to get to the summit, you're going to die at the top because A, you're not going to really get your property out there and expanding it. So part of what we want to do as IP Sherpas is give people a plan to go up the mountain, down the mountain, and then get ready to scale the next mountain. But here's what's so cool. Once you learn the mindset, it's just like the first stock you ever bought. It's just like the first purse of real estate you bought. What should you do next? You buy your next one, your next one, your next one. Like when you tell authors, before you finish your book, make certain you have your next book ready to go. Right?
And we could even put in the back of the first book a back ad that says coming soon or, you know. Yeah.
Well, that's the best part when you get checks for ideas that you have yet to even completely. Mm-hmm. They have not materialized, but they're beginning to monetize. And that's the power of the digital world that we live in. All right. Back to Mount IP. The big danger, number one, is that all entrepreneurs face when it comes to IP is IP ignorance. You don't know that you don't know that you don't know, so you don't do anything. Mm. And here's a warning. You told me to talk this out, Kerry, in one of your great workshops that we do for IP Optimizer with the book companion for your an IP company. And that is, I said, if you don't have an IP strategy for your business, you will come into contact with an entrepreneur that has an IP strategy for your business.
That's right.
And I can give you real beautiful war stories of how that has happened to me, but more importantly, how it has happened for me. And it's what has made me an intellectual capitalist to be so hell-bent and passionate about this asset class. So number one is IP ignorance. Now, even worse than not knowing that you don't know, the biggest mistake an entrepreneur will make is they will go out, and again, let me pause. I'll go to a different asset class. They build a beautiful oceanfront piece of real estate. Mansion. It's gorgeous. It's got 26 bedrooms, 29 bathrooms. It's got a beautiful pool. It's got a kiddie pool. It's got a puppy pool. I mean, it's got a pool for your hamster. And you're like, Tony, come and look at my beautiful property. I'm like, oh, this is amazing, man. How did you do this? You're like, I worked really hard. I built it out. I promoted it. And now look at it. It's amazing. And I go, you know what? But do you own the deed to the oceanfront property that this building is built upon? And they go, No, I don't. So the biggest danger that an entrepreneur faces when it comes to IP is IP ignorance. And more importantly, particularly in the digital age, in the 21st century here, is that you start promoting ideas that you are, they're yours, but you never claim them. So they don't do the simple thing. This is what I love what you've done with Instant IP. I mean, it is a friction-free, low-cost, low-entry kind of barrier of protection to protect that original idea.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is where I'm such a champion of the work that you've done, what you're doing for humanity. I always go, like, what Carrie's doing is what the folks who created the internet did in 1986 before the first domain was ever sold, which IP... domains or IP, you got to know that. And Carrie and I both have stories of if you don't get that IP, if you don't get that domain, what happens? So number one danger is IP ignorance. That's why listening to this podcast, getting Carrie's book, going through what you've done, Carrie, take listeners and viewers through this beautiful chart you've created.
Well, I just think that, look, I have a patent. I'm working on my second one. And every time I get a bill for those rejections, it's another 4K. So I just paid another $4,000 bill because I thought the patent was going to work. And then it goes through rejections. The average rejection is 2.6 times. And so the average patent gets rejected 86% of the time, the first time. So this is a very expensive person's game. Trademarks, I got a few of those, not bad. I got a bunch of copyrights. None of these are bad. This is like different layers of fence, but at least get Instant IP layer, which gives you that immutable timestamp, the first and fast layer. Tony, today I came up with a quote. All right, you ready for this? It's, if you want to turn your ideas into empires, the first step is to see yourself as a king or queen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I came up with that this morning. Okay. And then
what I love about that is how does IP cash flow? It cash flows from the concept of royalties.
There you go.
And you said king and queen, it is royalty. And there's a whole backstory why we call it royalty.
Really?
Right? Well, it's just like there's a whole backstory why we call it real estate. It doesn't mean real or physical estate. It means royal estate. Real estate is a Spanish word. Means real estate, the royal estate. And the way you know that is if you think you own your property, okay, stop paying the taxes on it. You will find out who owns the property, the government, the royal estate. The same is true with your intellectual property. There is a licensing agreement that you have to do with the government, the power, the creed. The word patent actually comes from the king's patent. Patent means open letter. And it was basically, so patent law, where does it come from here? I mean, it goes all the way back. Copyrights and patents go all the way back to ancient Greece. But here we are in modern times. And when I say modern times, specifically time period, I'm talking from about 1710 to here we are in 2025.
I'm going to get your chart. You keep talking. I'm going to bring
it. Yeah. Well, chart that you, if I could back up to the chart that you just shared.
Yeah.
Remember when Dan was doing the IP Value Builder series? He said something powerful in the very, he said, and when Keegan started to talk about patent valuation, Dan said, patents are the nuclear weapons of the intellectual property world. And he's 1,000%. I mean, they are powerful. They're expensive, right? Yeah. And they cause some damage, both good and bad. Now, but if you're going to go to war, everybody knows your last resort is to go for drop the bomb, right?
Right.
Instead, what you can begin to do is you actually see this portfolio. There's 8 types of intellectual property. Before you drop the nuclear bomb, ladies and gentlemen, before you go into battle, you get a flak jacket. It's called Instant IP. Mm. And Carrie, what you've done is you've created that first level of protection and defense. And the first literally claim through blockchain. This is the power of what you've done. You've brought this. I remember when you were bringing blockchain to the world and you're bringing your publishing, you're like, wait, in the IP. So that is what's so powerful. So you've got the 8. I'll hit the 8 with everybody. And then we'll go into this chart that you're showing because I love this one. So the first thing, you have Instant IP. Picture that as like the flak jacket. You're gonna use that. You're going to go into war. You're not going to go naked. You got to have something. You got to get that idea in the cloud, blockchain protected, time stamped. And that's the, and what, how, what's the investment?
So it's, we give everyone first free, like try it. We're so sold on it.
That's like when you used to go buy a domain for like free back in the day. I mean, I remember my first, it wasn't expensive at all. I think it was like $5 for a domain. So now think about if you could.
Yeah, but it can go up to $97 is where we start. And then as people buy bulk, it goes lower and lower.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful way to do that. All right, so you got that. And the next level is going to be domains. Domains are the most recent instant IP, number current, most current. Then you've got domains. And so domains are that next level. Think of that as like almost like hand grenades, ammunition, you know, basic firearms. Then you've got copyrights, which are really old. They're about 1705 here in the U.S., the Statue of Anne. So copyright law has been around. The power of copyright law, it is the most, when you go for damages in a court of law, you can get the most greatest rewards from that, okay? So that's where copyrights, because there's so much case law about copyright infringement. You always hear that. There's so many great stories and examples of copyright infringement.
Musicians, so, yeah, everything.
Exactly. Okay. And then after copyrights, we have the patents, right? And this is where you have patents on the 1800s. And this is in your book, right? Is this the chart that we came up with?
I quoted you.
There we go. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that one of the mindsets, and again, we're melding in here. I'm still in the biggest danger right now, which is IP ignorance. You don't know that you don't know you don't know. Mm-hmm. Understand, this asset class has been around since the formation of the country. Wow. It goes back to British law. If we go here into the States, this is what I love. This is the second mindset of an intellectual capitalist. So first, the first mindset is IP is intellectual property. What does property mean? Property means exclusive right. So property means exclusive right. Now, we know that when it comes to property rights, and they'll go back to biblical times. They go back to the book of Genesis when God challenges Abram at the time to take his son. He says, I'm going to do it. And he goes to do it. God says, stop. All right. Now that you've proven you believe in me, I'm going to promise you a covenant. I'm going to give you and everybody who comes after you wealth upon wealth that you can't even fathom and or imagine. But you got to do this first. And he changes his name from Abram to Abraham, which is instead of father one, father of many, which creates the monotheistic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Muslim, which all have some sort of divine construct that says God is going to speak through you, to you, to make the world a better place. And so one of the first where we see exclusive right of property law later on in the book of Genesis, when Abraham, his wife Sarah dies, he buys a cave so that he could stay with her. And God says, instead of raping and pillaging and killing people, just plant your seed here, and you will inherit the earth and everyone thereafter will. Okay. Now, the other part of that beautiful idea of the monotheistic religions of all three is that this is where God's so magical. God's like, you know what? I need everybody working this planet 7 days a week, but y'all have to honor the Sabbath at least one day. So, all right, Christians, you take Sunday off. Jews, you take Saturday off. Muslims, you take Friday off. And the whole world's going to work. And it does. For the most part, it really does. Fast forward, here we are. And we're at the foundation of this country about 250 years ago, okay, 1776. We're about to celebrate that in 2 years, in 2026. But after we declare the independence, we break free not only from a democracy side, but also from an ownership of our ideas and our IP. Because in the Constitution, this is the coolest part, why I love IP. This is the second mindset. And what we're doing here in the conversations, we're chopping down the danger, which is IP ignorance, to help you understand that intellectual property is one of the only asset classes that's codified in the U.S. Constitution. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8. Now, stop for a second. It's not an amendment to the Constitution. It's not an afterthought. It's in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8, which means, and it's not in the executive or the patent or the power of the king. It's in the people through the Congress. So this is under Congress. And in it, it says Congress shall give you for a limited period of time the what? Exclusive right for your useful ideas in scientific inventions. Now, here's the thing. Who you are today, listener, you're an entrepreneur. In 1790, we didn't have the word entrepreneur. Entrepreneur didn't come into the lexicon until 1806 when Jean-Baptiste Say had said that. But here we are. The word for entrepreneur in the 1790s was somebody who was inventive. We didn't say entrepreneur, we said inventive. Matter of fact, 1790s, the same year we had the word capitalist come into vogue, because capitalist was somebody from France, capitaliste was somebody who funded a revolution. Because they had surplus gold. So here we are with intellectual capitalism. Back to the Constitution. It says it in there. Now, even more powerful than that. I just discovered this. And if you really want to dig deep into like IP, another guest for the show is Adam Massoff. Adam Massoff is the IP professor genius at George Washington University.
Oh my God.
And yeah, you know, we got to have him a part of the movement.
Let's do it.
But he's the one who taught me something so powerful. It's my big IP insight for 2025. The only time you'll ever see in the US Constitution the word right, R-I-G-H-T, right? Hear this. This is profound for democracy, from invention, from entrepreneurship, is in the trade, pardon me, in the copyright and patent clause, which is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8. That's the only time you'll actually see the word printed. Don't take my word for it. You know, AI it, Google it, but look for yourself. That's the only time you'll see in the original Constitution the word right. So what did the founding fathers know? They knew that if we were going to break free, we had to own not only our freedom, but we had to own our ideas, our inventions, and our useful ideas. And the key word useful is what makes it entrepreneur than somebody who has an unuseful idea. And this is what we start to delineate, that a lot of entrepreneurs are not attorneys, and you shouldn't play an attorney. Attorneys look for what we call utility in patent law, in copyright law, in trademark. We don't give a utility, I'll be quite frank. What we care about is usefulness. Mm. Is somebody willing to exchange with us because this idea is useful? And so I love how the founding fathers in the founding document of the country, but matter of fact, when George Washington makes his plea at the State of the Union address in 1790, he takes office and he says, Congress, I ask you to pass the Copyright and Patent Act as one of your first acts of Congress. I think it was the third thing they passed. And guess what? The first patent was signed by George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and somebody else. I don't remember the third person. They were the patent office, right? Now, here's the best part. George Washington wasn't the king, because the king would just control all the patents. That's the difference when they came over across the pond. Instead, what George Washington did is he not only authorized the first patent, which was for Samuel Hopkins, I believe. I'm slipping my mind. You can look it up. Mm. But it was for a guy who made fertilizer. He made potash, a type of fertilizer. He had a very unique process on how to make this a very effective fertilizer, potash, that increased yield of crop production. Now, meanwhile, back in his other life, George Washington was an inventor. He was an entrepreneur. He was a farmer. And he licensed the patent for the potash. Think about that. See, if he was going to be the king, he would have just taken control of it and said, it's mine. I mean, that's the difference between US and China, okay? They will just steal your idea. They will steal your assets. That's the capital mercantilism way. But here, and as Dan Sullivan has taught us, in a constitutional, an entrepreneurial constitutional republic, which we are, that all the founding fathers were both men of faith, they were entrepreneurial, and they were aspirational about what we could create as a bigger, better world. And so they knew at the core that we got to protect this divinely inspired right, this exclusive right to let you carry you, not because you're friends with me and I'm the king, because you know my brother's sister-in-law and you're privy to the court. No, you as a citizen have the rights. And by the way, people talk about DEI and all that stuff. It was she and they. It had all the pronouns. All right. So talk about inclusive concept. Now, there were slaves who did file patents. Now, they couldn't own it, but they had them. There were people of color who had patents. There were women who had patents. These ideas, this is how we were going to advance the society and become the great nation that we've become in less than what? 250 years. I mean, you look at a chart of like human progress and thriving, 1790s is boom. Why? Because, you have the Constitution, which codifies what we're talking about today. And yet, the biggest danger that you're going to face is nobody ever told you this. Nobody ever talked to you about this. And this is why I love what you're doing, Kerry. So danger one is IP ignorance.
And we are going to have to do a part two and maybe more. So, I want people to realize too that, look, whenever I get into a subject that overwhelms me, i.e. taxes, which is why I'm talking to Tom Wheelwright, I kind of glaze over, I tune out, I say that's not for me. I'm like, I'll just hire who. You can't hire out your ideas. Okay. And what I mean by that is, I really believe, Tony, I approach IP as an identity issue first. And that's why it's called, so that's why it's called You Are an IP Company. I'm actually with Katie trying to change their identity first. Because here's the thing. If you don't think, and I've seen this so many times with entrepreneurs, college students, creators, authors, if you don't think that you're worth anything, you're not going to think that you have any intellectual property.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So if you have a low self-esteem, if you think that you have nothing to offer, you have nothing special, you have no differentiation, then what happens is you basically say, well, of course I don't have IP. And that's, to me, the first and foremost thing. What you're doing is you're basically changing the way we see ourselves through the Constitution.
Well, and what you're doing is also you're helping chip away at the other two dangers when it comes to IP. So Mount IP, bringing it back. Number one, IP ignorance. Number two is IP fog. You just get your head caught in the cloud. So this does take time. Mm-hmm. But I think what's magical about the work that you do, Carrie, and the work that I do is, Carrie, are you an attorney? No or no?
No.
Are you an accountant? No or no?
No.
Are you an educator and an entrepreneur? You bet your ass. Bet your buns. Forgive me for the rating of the show. And so that's what is needed, because you need somebody who speaks entrepreneurs and IPNEs, which are languages that Carrie and I speak. So whether you talk to Carrie, whether you talk to me, you got it. And you need to have somebody, because here's the last two, because there are four dangers. Yeah. The last one is, so you got IP ignorance, IP fog, you're climbing a mountain, and then you slip off the cliff. And again, you never secure your IP and somebody else does. The other one is IP, what I call the IP gap. And anybody who knows Dan's work, the gap and the gain, you hear this word patent, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I've seen that happen. All the time. Oh my gosh. In the workshops, people think 1 to 3 years, 30K, and they're like, yeah, I'm not even going to touch my idea.
So keep it simple. Number one, Instant IP. What's the website, Carrie, for Instant IP?
InstantIP.today.
Yeah. Get the app on your phone. You have an idea. You log it in. You put it up there. By the way, here's why I'm telling you to do that, okay? Because whenever you take the next steps after the domain, you have to have specimens. When you're going to now submit the trademark, which that's my of the asset class, it's like some people in real estate is an asset class, and they do like – they do farmland or trailer houses or trailer park. Yeah. My asset class, sub-asset class is trademarks. I love trademarks, trademarks, and I could tell you why later. But if you're going to get a trademark, you have to have specimens. That's why the perfect combination with what Carrie's doing. The next step you need to do is get the domain. I can't tell you how many times. Now, again, I will save every listener on this call. Don't even thank. You can send Carrie the check and Carrie will send me the change. This is a $10,000 idea. And if you don't take action on it, you know what? Shame on you. You deserve to have your property taken from you. If you have an idea, first step, Instant IP. Second step, go get the domain. Don't file the trademark. Don't file the patent. Don't do any of that. Now, I will tell you, if you go to an IP attorney, they're not even going to talk to you. They don't even see domains as intellectual property because their training has limited them. Again, I'm not an IP attorney. Don't trust me on that. I sure as hell am an IP an intellectual capitalist.
Yeah.
And an intellectual capitalist focuses on where the money is. Speaking back to leasing and licensing, now they lease domains. They rent to own domains. So here's what happens in the secret world of IP. Again, because you're IP ignorance, IP fog, and then IP paralysis, you're waiting to get the patent. Meanwhile, somebody's grabbing your domain, because what happens? The moment you file publicly, because this is public record information, okay, is the moment you file publicly, all the domain farms out there, they're capitalists, they're business. Remember, you don't have an IP strategy for your business. You're going to come into contact with a business who has an IP strategy for your business. And it's not your plan, it's their plan.
Yeah.
They will go and grab your domain and they will sell it back to you between 5 and 10x the cost. Any two-word combination that you will come up with, like Instant IP or intellectual capitalist, and you're out there just saying these words, people are picking. Remember, they didn't come from you. They came through you.
Yep.
You're like a internet router. Other people can pick up that Wi-Fi signal, brother, sister. So your great idea that someday out, and you haven't taken the steps to package it and protect it before you start promoting it, you're akin to the person who built the oceanfront mansion that I told you about before, who never got the deed to the property.
Case in point, instantip.com was already taken. You know, so why did I buy Dot Today? Because it was like one of the only ones left. Now, thankfully, I ran and I protected Instant IP on Instant IP. And then I ran and got it trademarked. And then I got a certification mark. Yeah. I mean, so I'm going through all the right fences and layers and mountains, as you call it. But yeah, I mean, I missed out on that domain. And, you know, but I bought instantip.app. So I'm all about domains.
They're like, you have the flak jacket of Instant IP. The domain is kind of like the, you want to have a handgun. You want to be able to pull that last ditch effort. You got to at least be able to protect yourself, or, you know, God forbid, you just have to protect yourself with the handgun. You could go up and down the ladder, but the other piece that you're doing, that's what will eliminate that paralysis. It's like, don't try to buy 50,000 shares of Berkshire Hathaway. You can't afford it. Buy $10 worth of Berkshire Hathaway. Just get in the deal. Get some skin in the game. Get an Instant IP account. Get a GoDaddy account. And when you think it, ink it in the cloud, in the blockchain. Mm. So don't just ink it, blockchain it. And then go ahead and get the domain. It's a $10 option. I mean, and what's really powerful, you can sell that domain. I've made quite a bit of money just selling the domains that I bought. I thought I was going to use it. I don't use it anymore.
Yeah.
And so every step, and that's $10. So the entry points for this is what I love about this asset class, particularly for any Gen Z, millennial. Listen, I tell you, I don't know how to tell you when it comes to buying a house or buying real estate. You're screwed. Yeah. But the one asset class that you still have within your grasp for less than what, Kerry, from your end?
Yeah.
$9, right? Yeah. Domain, $10. Trademark, maybe $500 if you're like going big time.
Yeah.
For under $2,000, you can begin to stake your claim. Because here's the fourth and final danger, and I think we have to wrap for this episode. The fourth danger, and this is the one that I'm so on. The other three are internal, right? Mm. So Mount IP, the big danger, number one, is going to be IP ignorance. You don't know that you don't know that you don't know. All right. And that's on you as an entrepreneur. IP fog is like, I'm climbing the mountain, but man, I'm confused and I don't know what to do. That's why you got to read You're an IP Company. That's why you want to listen to this podcast. I encourage you to check out the Intellectual Capitalist Show. But start just like before you go buy that piece of property, understand the real estate market. Understand the IP market, really, because it is a powerful asset class. No, again, it's codified in the Constitution. Thanks, Kerry. There you go. The Intellectual Capitalist Show.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Be around other individuals. Just like if I want to become a real estate investor, I study and learn with people who don't sell me real estate. I study people who own and lease and rent real estate and make cash flow that way.
Yeah.
Same way you want to hang around Intellectual Capitalists, because the other danger that I mentioned is the IP a gap where you hear a patent, you get overwhelmed, you don't do anything. But here's the fourth and final one. And this is why I love what you're doing, Kerry. Mm. And more importantly, listeners, viewers, this is why I love that you're showing up. It's actually really, really sad that this is the danger, because it's nothing to do with you as an entrepreneur, you as a creative, you as an inventor. It actually is IP arrogance. And IP arrogance comes from two institutions in this country. Number one, the legal system. And number two, the educational system. And so what I mean by that, I'm not knocking my IP attorney. I love my IP attorney. I love Katie. I love Caldwell. Awesome. They're one of the exceptions when it comes to IP. They are not IP arrogant. They educate and they take you along the journey. What I'm talking about is the attorney who only looks at this as property. You're not creating property. You're creating an asset that ultimately will cash flow. And so I always look at, I love my IP attorney. I wrote him a check today and I'm proud to do that. But I know that he is there to help me acquire my property. He cannot and most likely will not be able to help me monetize that. That's why you got to be involved in the work that Kerry's doing, the work that I'm doing, because they are limited to only getting you property. And I don't know about you viewers, but I'm sure as if I looked at your real estate portfolio, you got some properties that are total liabilities. They're dogs, right? Mm-hmm. And you might even have a dog that is a liability. But the point is, but it's your property. So you want to think about this. Now, I'm not here just to create property. I'm here to create an asset, okay? Because it is an asset class. That's the first. And so IP arrogance comes from the legal system. And then the area that I'm involved in, Kerry, that you're involved in, is IP education. There is zero. You can go and get 4 MBAs at the finest business schools. You can go, couple blocks from a couple colleges right where I am. You can go to Wharton, you can go to Penn, you can go, and guess what? You can go get that MBA in business. You're probably maybe going to get one course on IP education. When today, here we are, thanks to Keegan Caldwell, Visual Capitalist has shown us, and you've done this, Carrie, in your books, I've done this as well. We know that the S&P 500 valuation, 90% is intangible, aka intellectual property.
It's crazy. Yet
we don't talk or teach this. It's codified in the U.S. Constitution. This is goes. You don't have to. The heck with the attorneys and the educators. Just history. I mean, this is what makes us American.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing is, you can anybody can create IP. That's the powerful piece. So talk about why this is such a great time and a great asset class. And I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry, Carrie, if I bored you. I'm not excited. I'd rather watch paint dry with you instead.
Well, but see, IP creation happens at Starbucks. It happens in, you know, boardrooms, bars, you know, whatever. Like, people are sitting here having conversations. They're whiteboarding. And I mean, this is where the ideas happen. Amazon's, the Apples, the Ubers. So it's when you see a problem and then you create a solution that's unique, or a combination of other pieces put uniquely together, and you have IP. But how many people have sat on their IP because of the four things you said, and they're not taking action? So just yesterday, I'm not even joking, just yesterday, my cousin, my second cousin named Sierra said, you know what? We're talking about IP. And she said her brother and her created this idea. They didn't do anything with it. And 6 months later in California, there's a new business being launched. And here's what she said. I'm not even saying that they stole it from us. They probably didn't, but we didn't act on it.
Yeah.
And it goes back to your point about being the internet receiver.
Well, I always, Carrie, I mean, I know you're a man of faith, but I'm going to ask you, listener, do you pray? Do you meditate?
Yeah.
Do you seek guidance from a higher power, right? People think it's just a one-way conversation. God talks back to you through your ideas, divinely inspiring you. And if you can really, truly begin, this is what you said earlier about your, you know, your net worth is part of your self-worth, and you got to value. This is why
there's said it like that, but I'm going to write that down. That was good IP. Yeah.
What was that?
Your net worth is based off your self-worth.
Oh, totally.
Dude, we're going to protect that thing.
Go for it. You can have that one. That's not mine. That's been out there in anybody's. I probably, it's a Jim Rohn, which was then attributed to Tony Robbins and then now attributed to Tony.
I've heard of network is related to your net worth, but I've never heard that your net
worth
is related to
if you want to increase your net worth, increase your self-worth, and you want to increase your self-worth, begin to understand that you have divinely inspired exclusive right to divinely inspired ideas. We call that intellectual property. And don't take my word for it. Go to the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8. That's your one homework assignment. Number two, a homework assignment. So you can see that I'm not making this up. It's real. Also, then, what are they? Search F1, search or Shift F1, and then search the word right. And you will see, not the Bill of Rights, which is an amendment to the Constitution, but the original word right there. Number two, go to Instant IP today and get the app. And download that so you can start to have a place to put your ideas, not on paper, like I would tell you 10 years ago, but in the cloud, in the blockchain.
Wow. Yeah.
And then go get the domain, open up that domain account. Okay. Now, when those ideas come from you, through you, to you, pause, breathe, don't freak out, get them in the blockchain, get them in the cloud, then let them marinate for a little bit.
Yeah.
Your total investment, listener, was $20. That's it. And if you can't spend $20 on your idea, guess what? Somebody else deserves to profit from that and not you, because you have to honor it. If you really believe you're a child of God, which I do, okay?
Yeah.
I think it'd be a long time to get to that point in my life. I'm here to just tell you, all the signs have been there. They're there. You just need to waken up to those. So I think next time, Carrie, when we chat, I would love...
Tell me what we're going to talk about next episode. And then I also want to drop in your IP conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But tell me, what are we going to talk about next time?
Well, next time I want to pound out the IP ignorance, right? Because that's something we can do and you can do. And through Carrie's books, through our work, The Intellectual Capitalist, through this podcast, The Intellectual Capitalist Show, we're going to really chop away at that IP ignorance. So you have IP awareness. That's your first stage. Okay. Of being an intellectual capitalist or being an IP company. So you want to get that education. Now, in order to do that, if you want to do that with me, you can drop in the link, Carrie. And that is, if you want to have a no pitch, deeper conversation, which I'll take you through an IP audit and really make certain that you know what your IP is. And if you qualify for the IP Sherpa series, which is something that we offer entrepreneurs, not any entrepreneur, a startup, it doesn't work. Okay, you have to be a, what I call a GMAT entrepreneur. You need to be growth minded. You need to be ambitious. You need to be driven and you're entrepreneurial and you want to transform that useful idea into a cash flowing asset. You got to climb up the mountain and ultimately you got to climb down the mountain. You know, what I want you to do is you go to the domain. The domain is www.theipconversation. So theipconversation.com. And it'll take you right to my Calendly link for a no pitch, no sales conversation. And if it's the right fit, it's a right fit. If not, I will be happy to guide you to other ways that you can package and protect and really profit from your IP. So that's what you can do now. In the meantime, I want to chop away at the ignorance, carry with you in the next episode on the 7 mindsets of an intellectual capitalist. And once you get the mindsets down,
I'm looking forward to
seeing IP everywhere.
I see it everywhere already. I really do.
Pretty cool. We're like the guys in the movie Sixth Sense, listeners. If you haven't watched that, Bruce Willis and Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, I see dead people, but we say I see IP
everywhere.
Yeah, it's true though. I mean, I literally do. I look at a pencil and I'm like, okay. There's a lot of things about that pencil that's IP or, you know, this water bottle. I mean, literally
everything. So, and that's God's divine grace in human form.
Yeah. Everything.
Oh, I'm going to pop a Listerine tab, right? I mean, think about this stuff. This is like amazing.
That's right. So check out Tony D'Angelo. Check out the Intellectual Capitalist. Grab a slot with him on one more time.
The IP Conversations, not IP Conversations. It's theipconversation.com because we need to have the IP Conversation because as Carrie has taught us, you are an IP company. And when begin to embrace that you are an IP company and see yourself as an intellectual capitalist, you will do your true God's work for 100% of humanity. And that's the power of the work we do.
Can't wait to see you on the next episode, Tony.
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you, Carrie. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in and staying with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today and caldwelllaw.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.